Good morning, friends. We bring greetings from Episcopalians and other Christians from up and down the California coast. As our intrepid group of 20 teenagers and 5 adults from All Souls Berkeley and St. Mary's the Virgin San Francisco wound its way down the El Camino Real, the royal highway that once held the footsteps of Franciscan friars and Spanish soldiers, we bring you greetings and a witness to the kind of Christian hospitality that travelers on the road yearn for. At St. Stephen's, San Luis Obispo, it was a warm and friendly and slightly overwhelmed 8 o'clock congregation. And at Christ Church Coronado, it was a meal cooked and served by the rector as soon as we arrived. An elegant parish hall for the week, hardwood sleeping floor notwithstanding, and a church conveniently located about a 5-minute walk from the beach next to the Hotel Del Coronado, which was nice. God's work in creation was exclaimed abundantly. The hospitality was made more profound when we learned that 3 of the parishes that we visited, those in San Luis Obispo, Coronado, and St. Matthew's National City in San Diego, were all given permission to begin their ministry in Christ in the late 1800s under the auspices of the Diocese of California, under then it's our first bishop, William Ingram Kipp. So the road that we traveled, in addition to being trod by those Spanish missionaries, had been traversed by Episcopalians for over 120 years. Right. Our mission was the latest in a long and complicated, sometimes devastating, and many times fruitful line of being faithful to Christ's command to train everyone we meet in this way of life, marking them with baptism in the threefold name of God and instructing them in the practices that he had commanded. Perhaps these are part of the reasons that this spirit was felt so closely on our trip. Maybe it was also the fact that no cell phones were allowed and no texting, no iPods, no computers, and therefore no internet or, gasp, no Facebook. None was allowed. But it came clear on this trip, like it has on many others that I've been a part of, that the psalm that we sang this morning, Psalm 133, could be palpably experienced. It seemed almost redundant to proclaim that first verse. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Perfect strangers days earlier were sharing in vulnerable and profound ways. Trust in common purpose bridged skepticism. Paul's exhortation in this epistle was enacted in front of our very own eyes. Though I believe that I'll leave the understanding of Jonathan's love for David in relation to our teenagers' love for one another on this past mission trip for another sermon entirely. And so, now, to witness to their belief known in practice, this morning we'll have Lucy Sims, Deirdre Feely, and Jillian Sweeney. Lucy.
This whole mission trip reminded me of the gospel story, when Jesus was in the boat with them and he calmed that big wild storm. Going on this trip was kind of like going to the other side in that boat. In some ways, it was taking a risk. Where we went on the trip was really different. We saw the border of Mexico, but it was also sometimes ordinary, and it was always fun. The people we met were real. The tasks we did were often basic. Cleaning out sheds, playing bingo with the kids, just trying to get them down for their naps, to name a few. Oftentimes, when you think of mission trips or community service, you think about doing something big, like changing the world. But the first day I was working in the daycare center, I often felt like what I was doing, just helping watch and take care of the kids for just 1 week, wasn't really significant. The kids were fun and cute and surprisingly open to us. I held them on my lap, played with them, did art projects, but sometimes I couldn't really see how it was going to help in the long run. But later that night, I realized that I had seen the only two teachers in the classroom sweeping, organizing papers, and cleaning. There were usually two tables of kids in the room, and today there were two extra volunteers. What if we hadn't been there? The teachers would have had to sit at the table and would have been unable to organize anything. It was like we were calming the hectic storm of the classroom and its 20 high-energy children. Or at least we were giving the teachers the time to comment. So going on the trip, I felt like we were a little bit like Jesus, going into a wild storm and calming it down. I also felt like, aside from calming the storm in the classroom and with the kids, we also somewhat calmed some of our own personal storms by just going there to work with them.
Deirdre.
On Thursday, we visited the Chula Vista site in National City, and I went to room 4, where me, along with two other teenagers, worked with the kids. One of the girls, Tiffany, was very quiet. During the whole morning, she sat by herself. She didn't say anything. She was only 3 years old, and she was the newest member. The teacher told me that she was very quiet. She often moved her mouth without words coming out. She might have been a mute. They weren't sure. I played with her at recess and at lunchtime. I played Tickle Monster with her. She started laughing. At lunch, she opened up to me and was having full conversations. She told me stories about the flowers she liked, about all the toys she wished she could have. It really amazed me how just in one day she opened up so much to someone new, someone she didn't even know. The teacher, Miss Kaliki, was so happy. She said she was thankful for us because we had opened the children so much, and now she knew that they would never be shy as much again, and it really changed their lives.
Jillian.
All right. As you know, five youths of our parish went to San Diego to help out the Head Start program. What we did is we went to different low-income families, preschools, and assisted the teachers, played with the kids, along with gardening and moving things into sheds. In the second lesson today, it speaks about the openness of Christians to the Corinthians. On the trip, openness was not given by the volunteers, it was received from the toddlers. The kids were more trusting than anyone I have ever known. While we were watching the kids on the playground, one boy asked me to catch him when he stepped off a ladder. When he let go, he did not hesitate at all. He trusted me to catch him when he fell. I didn't drop him. But trust like that is hard to come by, and his willingness to be open was amazing. It was unexpected the way he trusted me so much. I was a stranger who looked, acted differently than he was used to. It was also, the teachers there were astounding. They took time out of their lives. They probably didn't get paid for it, just to help out these kids learn and play. And we really received things from the teachers and the students. This trip was very memorable, and I remember the kids, teachers, and other volunteers for a long time.
One of the sad realizations of our time with these 3 and 4-year-old children at some of the 18 Head Start facilities that the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego operates was the stories that these children brought with them. Because of the violence within or outside of their homes or the daily grind of a life of poverty, these children obviously knew the frightening nature of a storm. One child in particular told the story of being in their home, and some armed men came to their home and broke their door down, and the family had fled that home and had not been able to return. Another child clearly told the story of being in an abusive home. And so coming to these stories, the teenagers and adults, we were knocked back on our heels to hear these stories from 3 and 4-year-old little people. And yet just as remarkable was these children's response to us as we entered into their classrooms. Instead of reacting with anxiety or fear, these children greeted us every day with wide and open hearts, with trust and with confidence, a trust like Christ was asking of the disciples. These wide open hearts that Paul was talking about to the Corinthians, he knew what he was saying, to be as children with these wide and open hearts. And so as one youth wondered, as we left San Diego, if we could trust God like those children who were blown by the gusts and swamped by the waves as they were, if we could trust God like those children trusted us, what storm could overpower us?